I love the portion of Scripture that we're in, John chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. As Jesus is spending the last few hours of His earthly ministry with His disciples, and Jesus is speaking to them first in the upper room, then on the way to the garden, and in the garden. And we get to chapter 17, Jesus is praying in the garden, and what tremendous passages of Scripture. But for tonight, our text is going to be verses 7 through 11. Verses 7 through 11. You can remain seated, but if you would, I would like to read this passage in unison. So please read with me as we read beginning in verse 7. Ready? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What an important passage as Jesus speaks to these disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together in His Word tonight. Father, I pray that You would help me. Father, help me as I preach these truths. Father, I pray that You would give me clarity of mind. Father, that every word spoken would be directed by Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we would understand the way that You work in the hearts of lost men. Father, I pray that each one of us, Father, would act in unison with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that You would help us to see our role, Father, in this world, to stand for truth, to be the salt and the light that you've called us to be. Father, I pray that You would bless. And Father, I pray that, Lord, because of our faithfulness, because of the witness of the Spirit, Father, that more souls would be saved. Many souls would be saved. And Father, men and women would come and be discipled and grow in the grace. Father, I pray that You would help us. Spirit of God, I pray that You would use me in this hour as I preach Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In these chapters, Jesus has been teaching His disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And up to now, the ministry that the Spirit has had, the ministry that Jesus has spoken of, is a ministry to the believer. And Jesus has specifically said what the Holy Spirit is going to do, the role that He is going to play for His disciples because of His departure. And Jesus has spoken of so many wonderful facets of this ministry. Jesus has told the disciples that the Holy Spirit would indwell them. And because of the coming Holy Spirit, Jesus has told His disciples that He would not leave them comfortless. He would come to them. And later in Hebrews, He would say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we understand this because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples that this Spirit would abide with them forever. You know, and again, so many wonderful truths that come from that. You know, the doctrine of eternal security, that the Holy Spirit, that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and we're sealed unto the day of redemption. He will be with us forever. And, you know, as we enter those waning days of our life here on this earth, the Holy Spirit is still with us. And the Holy Spirit carries us into the presence of our Savior. He is with us and He will be with us and abide with us forever. You know, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would teach the disciples. You know, and how important it is that we understand that we are taught by the Spirit of God. You know, so often we think that we can read a book or that we can just hear something, hear a lecture or a teaching session and the words and the truth. And I want to remind us, it is spiritual truth. And you don't get it because you hear it from the pulpit or you hear it from a preacher. You must be taught by the Holy Spirit. And that's why I pray and ask the Lord to use the words that I say, and that He would teach His people with the truth that I have the privilege and opportunity to preach. You know, another ministry of the Holy Spirit is that He would bring all things to their remembrance. And of course, first and foremost, the apostles are going to record the words of Christ and the works of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring those things even to John's remembrance as he records these passages for us. And remind them of the truth that Jesus has taught them. The Holy Spirit is going to guide the disciples in truth and help them to know and understand, to make practical application of the truth that they've received. The Holy Spirit is going to testify of Christ. Well, I love that. The Holy Spirit was sent to testify of Christ. You know, both to the world, to the disciples, to testify of Christ. Well, I wish that the church today could understand this. The Holy Spirit was not sent to glorify Himself. The Holy Spirit was sent to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can almost say that is a litmus test of the Spirit's work. Who is being exalted? And if it exalts the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to glorify and testify of Christ. And the Holy Spirit was sent to comfort. His name even mentioned in this passage, the Comforter. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. And certainly many, many, many trials that these disciples that were going to face. And we have the comfort of the Spirit of God. Jesus said that that the Holy Spirit would bear fruit, His fruit, in the life of a believer. And the Holy Spirit would empower these believers, these disciples, to be a witness. You know, we got to talk about that in the face of the hatred of this world. Jesus says, don't take it personal. They don't hate you because of you. They hate you because of Me. And yet in the face of this world's hatred, we go and we preach Christ. And understand, it is the Spirit of God that empowers us to be able to accomplish that. But tonight for the message, I want us to see that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is entirely different to this world than His ministry to that of a believer. Now, it's important for us to note that the Holy Spirit doesn't just work in the world through the believer. You know, Jesus said that when He has come, He will reprove the world. So, yes, the Holy Spirit works through the church. He works through the believer. And we need to understand that the importance of our role. We've been called to be salt, and we've been called to be light in this world, okay? And by the way, what a tragic place our country is if the church that is to be light in our culture and our nation is not light. You know, Jesus actually spoke of that. If that light is darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. But we've been called to be salt and light, but the Holy Spirit itself has a ministry to this world. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, it's vitally important that we understand this ministry. Because as Christians, we are to work in conjunction, in union, in unison, in harmony with the ministry that the Spirit of God has in this world. Okay? Example. In the early days of the church, the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God. They were preaching the gospel throughout Jerusalem. And of course, that invoked the ire, the hatred, the opposition of the Pharisees. And we read into the book of Acts, and we find out that it didn't take long before disciples were getting arrested and persecuted and beaten for the cause of Christ, and we get to Acts chapter 5, and the Pharisees were really in consternation as to what to do with the disciples, because it seemed like they were beginning to understand that the more they persecuted them, the more they grew. And one day a wise Pharisee stood up. His name was Gamaliel. He said, we better think twice about this. We really ought to back off and leave him alone, because he said, if they're not of God, then none of this is going to amount to anything. If this is not of God, we've got nothing to worry about. But if it is of God, then we're fighting against God. You see, Acts chapter 5, verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. We need to understand what God is doing in this world so that we're not working in opposition to the Holy Spirit and working against what God is trying to accomplish in this world. You see, the Bible tells us here in verse 8, and when he is come, let's read verse 8 again together, ready? And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit reproves. He doesn't comfort. He convicts. He speaks against. The word that is reproof here is the word that is used in John chapter 8. Perhaps you remember the story. Jesus was on the temple grounds, and they brought a woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and they threw her down before Jesus, and they said, okay, now Moses says, stone her, what do you say? And Jesus, of course, stoops, and the Bible says, as though he heard them not, and he begins to write in the dirt. You remember the story? You remember what happened next? Yeah, the Bible says that each one of those men that came and unjustly accused this woman, they began to be convicted in their own conscience. And one by one, they just got up. They were so overwhelmed by their conscience speaking against their sin, against what they were guilty of, that they would rather get up and walk away and not follow through, even though they wanted to see Jesus, to somehow condemn him. They were convicted. See, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to this world. He reproves the world. He convicts the world. He tells the faults of this world. The word there, in Matthew chapter 18, when a brother has offended you, you go and you tell him his fault. That same word there. The Holy Spirit admonishes the world of what? Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. See, we've got to grasp this, because before the Holy Spirit can bring comfort to the heart of the believer, that sin has to be reproved. He has to be brought to a place where he sees that his righteousness is not sufficient, that he stands guilty and awaiting judgment before a holy God, and he runs to the cross. Then the Holy Spirit can comfort him. See, that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. John Newton understands that grace, understood that grace. In that song, and it's amazing, the song is, one of the most popular songs that lost people would know, at least in our country and in our culture. He wrote about that conviction and then the comfort that follows that conviction. In the second verse of the song, he says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. You see that grace, understand it is the grace of God that would bring conviction to a lost sinner, to help him see his need of a Savior. But he went on, he says, in grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. You see, a lost man will never see his need for a Savior until he sees the awfulness of his sin. You see, listen, we can go out into this world and we can preach God loves you, Jesus loves you, and God does love them, and Jesus does love them. But listen, unless they see their need to believe in Him, they will perish. They will not have everlasting life. See, if a man doesn't see himself guilty of sin, having no righteousness, himself awaiting judgment, there's no need for the cross. You know, that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians wrote, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, that conviction, the truth that brought the conviction of the Holy Spirit that helped us see our plight and our need to run to the cross. Understand, that wasn't something unique with us. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to this world. See, the church has been sold a false bill of goods. You know, if you want to make church members, you want to grow your church, you want to have successful metrics by this world standards, bodies, bucks, and buildings. You got to create atmosphere, and it's about a band with a good drummer, and you got to have lights and smoke machines and video walls, and boy, you got to have a singer with a set of pipes that can really bring it, and you got to have good video illustrations, and the stuff just flows endlessly into my email box and across my desk, this idea that we need to cater to the lost. Wait a minute, what is the Spirit of God? What is the Spirit of God speaking to their heart about? What is His ministry to this lost world? You know, recently I mentioned a Super Bowl ad that made the point that, you know, we're just supposed to be washing feet. You know, stop talking about sin. You know, it's hateful anyway. You know, stop talking about what's right, what's wrong. Just love them. I mean, don't be light. Just be loving. And in the ad, a picture, you know, if you're a man of the cloth, you know, go out there and find a homosexual that you can wash their feet. You know, this idea that without any light, without any truth, we're just supposed to show them love. See, it's absolutely vital that we understand this, that the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. By the way, it's every single one of us. This isn't just for preachers. I wish that preachers would stand up and preach behind the pulpits and understand the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the lost that hear the truth. But even as you give the gospel to your own children. You know, I've heard people, and I get this sense that, you know, their children, they just, you know, as soon as their children are born, you know, they just have this idea, oh, just pray the prayer, pray the prayer, pray the prayer, pray the prayer. Listen, we need to understand what God is doing and where God is, and how God is working in their heart and what the Spirit is speaking to them about. And God has, even our own children, God has to bring them to a place where they see their sin. And they're convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment, and the Holy Spirit reproves them. Three things the Holy Spirit reproves of, I'll try to be quick. Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 9, read this with me, ready? Of sin, because they believe not on me. Again, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of sin. Deep down inside, everybody knows they're a sinner. You know, I could count probably one or two, and truthfully, I don't even think they were serious, people I've ever given the gospel to in my life that thought that they were perfect, you know, that they had not sinned and were not in need of any kind of saving grace. You know, the fact of being a sinner is mentioned often because, you know, people are ready to acknowledge, hey, nobody's perfect, because when they make a mistake, they want an excuse. They want others to overlook their fault or extend that forgiveness. And I mean, well, nobody's perfect. See, it's not enough to say, well, everybody sinned. You know, Christ died for everyone. See, as long as a man is able to share that guilt. You know, I thought recently of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, they partook of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that God is merciful. You know, what if instead of running and hiding, Adam had run to God and begged for mercy? You know how, you know, and again, there's just wondering. This idea that, you know, but when he was called to give an account, it was the woman that you gave me, and the woman, it was the serpent. This idea that as long as someone is trying to share their guilt with others, there can be no salvation. See, we must come. A man must come face to face with the awfulness of his sin. See, this is something that we've got to grasp for salvation. We need to understand this about sin in general. We get so consumed, so worried, so concerned about everybody else's sin. And again, it's that beam mote thing Jesus was talking about. You know, we've got everybody else pegged, and we know exactly what's wrong with them, and yet all the while excusing our own sin. And listen, if we're gonna have mercy, then we need to be consumed with our own sin. You see, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You see, and if it's a sin maybe that others know about it, we cover it by excusing it. Maybe we can't hide it so that people won't find out, but we spread the guilt around. Listen, we need to understand this matter of sin, and I had to preach about it a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, but this matter of sin, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. See, understand, in this flesh, we are sinners. I am a sinner. I was a sinner before I was saved, but I've sinned more since I've been saved than before I was saved. Listen, I wouldn't want any of you to see my heart. I wouldn't want any of you to know the thoughts that go through my mind. You know, I stand like Paul in Romans chapter 7 and say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" See, this sin is not an accusation. It's part of who we are. It's our reality. And if you want to grow, if you want to get any level of victory over sin, there's no excusing it. There's no hiding it. You've got to be honest about your sin. You see, and listen, we need to remember that God hates sin. That's why the Holy Spirit is reproving the world of sin. You see, he has so much to say about sin in his word, passages about sin, lists of sin. And sin is the sum total of man's problem. It's sin that breaks fellowship with God. It is because of sin. Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin exposes, it flows from the heart, and it exposes that need for a new heart. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, because God wants to change your heart. Sin, and again, sin, the Bible says, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, how important we understand this, of sin. The Holy Spirit will reprove of sin. But I want us to notice again, especially what it says here in verse 9, of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. Because they believe not on me. See, this is more than just about sin. This is about more than just adultery and fornication and lying and pride and drug use. And see, I want to remind us all tonight that the sin that will send a man to hell is sinning against God's remedy for sin. You know, a curious question I get asked often, you know, the unpardonable sin. I don't want to get off on that topic, but listen, the reason that there are countless millions in hell is because they have rejected God's remedy for sin. He will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. You see, it doesn't say because they lied, of sin because they lied, of sin because they stole, of sin because they committed adultery. The Holy Spirit reproves men for thinking that there are other solutions to man's sin problem. See, what will send you to hell is the fact that you have rejected Jesus Christ. What will send your neighbors and your co-workers and lost family members to hell is the fact that they have rejected the atonement that Jesus Christ offers. He has come. He has paid the price that sin can be forgiven. But they reject God's mercy and grace. They reject God's call to repentance. And if you reject the mercy that's available through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing left for you. Of sin, because they believe not in me. But in verse 10 he says, would you read it with me please? Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. See, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Well, I love that. In 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, Jesus came, and Jesus Christ, the Bible says, fulfilled all righteousness. You see, and our sinless Savior, He finished the work of redemption. He said, I've done the will of my Father. And there as He hung on the cross, it is finished. And into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible tells us He took His own blood as both the high priest and the sacrifice. He took His own blood and entered into that holy place in heaven. And He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. And the Bible says, then He went and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, fulfilling all righteousness. You see, that's why Philippians chapter 3. Hold your place here and turn there with me, would you please? Philippians chapter 3. When Jesus was here on this earth, He convicted men of righteousness. He reproved men of righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, in that Sermon on the Mount, He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, and you know, here in Philippians chapter 3, we have a former Pharisee who, by his own testimony, said that he was blameless in his keeping of the law. Not sinless, but blameless in his efforts to keep the law. And notice what this former Pharisee said. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Guess what? Paul did find a righteousness that exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, didn't he? See, he stands before Christ, before God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, I want to remind us that the only righteousness that God will accept is the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it's salvation. What takes place is you and the Lord Jesus Christ switch places. He becomes sin for you, and you become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:21, and for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, we have, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. See, I want to remind us that our righteousness are as filthy rags. See, everything we do is tainted by this old flesh. This old flesh that Paul speaks of and waxes eloquent about in Romans chapter 7. All the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I know I shouldn't do, that I do. And, you know, oh, wretched man that I am. And everything we do is tainted by this flesh. That there is our righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, there is nothing about David Rook for me to boast about. You know, and all the good that I might do during the week, it is not righteousness that God accepts. You know, the preaching, going to the jails and doing hospital visits and soul winning and making calls and Bible studies. And listen, my righteousness is as filthy rags. You see, the lost man thinks he's pretty righteous. I've never done anything that bad. I'm a pretty good person after all. I'm ready to have my day before the man upstairs. You see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. I want to ask you, who was it that received mercy? Who was it that received forgiveness during Jesus' earthly ministry? It was the publicans. It was the sinners. See, not the self-righteous Pharisees. See, the songwriter said, "In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." You see, understand that the Holy Spirit convicts us and helps us to understand that our self-righteousness is inadequate. It's only the righteousness of Christ who has fulfilled all righteousness and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Only the righteousness of Christ will suffice. See, as long as we're going to be self-righteous, as long as maybe because we've gotten some victory over particular sins, this sin or that sin, and when we now get to look down our noses at other people who are still still practicing that sin, understand that God can't use us. We're not working with the Holy Spirit. We think that we become something. And you see, I want to remind us that God hates self-righteousness. And any religious system, any denomination, any church, any preacher that would preach anything of merit and morality and integrity and self-righteousness is a false religion. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Christ died for sinners. Jesus Himself said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, how important we understand that the Holy Spirit is reproving the world. Self-righteousness cannot save them. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me say, lastly, He is reproving. He's reproving the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Let's read verse 11 together. Ready? Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. One more time. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, of sin, because they refuse to believe in Jesus. Of righteousness, because they think they're going to heaven because of their own merit, because of their own good works. Of judgment, you know, most people think that in the end, they're going to make it. Most people, see, what men don't realize, they think that, you know, if I do this and if I do that, you know, in the end, it'll all be okay. What they don't realize is the Bible says very clearly that they are already condemned. You know, we're familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." John 3:18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." See, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And of course, we see that laid out for us in Revelation chapter 20. We don't have time to turn there. But listen, the Holy Spirit is convicting men. Holy Spirit is convicting men. This is a sinking ship. Listen, things are not going to get better. The Bible says evil man, in the last days, evil man and seducers will wax worse and worse until the day that Christ Himself destroys this earth. Listen, this world is condemned. The Bible says that we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And listen, that's why we need to preach the gospel to this lost world. That's why they better get saved. We our focus in this country. I'm all for clean drinking water. Do you know where the real filth is? You know, I see pictures. You know, they had the Flint water crisis, and I see them holding up jugs of dirty water. You know, this is our. You know where the real filth is? It's not in our drinking water. It's in the hearts of men. The real filth in this country is in the hearts of men. And we're living in a sin-cursed world. The world is judged, and the Holy Spirit comes to men and reproves them. This is a sinking ship. Listen, you better get off this ship. You better get in the lifeboat, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is reproving them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit wants to bring men into a confrontation of their own sinfulness. Establish that fact of their guilt so we can lead them to repentance. So we can help them to see their desperate need for a Savior. To make them willing to forsake the self-righteousness that they've been clinging on to. So they can receive His righteousness. See, our job in this world is to speak truth. To give men the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit work in hearts to convict men, to reprove men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Let us pray.